4.9 Guilty Secrets.
So, it's that time in the Wednesday show when we have our regular slot called Confessions, when listeners can finally confess to a guilty secret that's been nagging away at their consciences and see if listeners think they can forgive them. First up is Jane from York. Jane, what do you want to get off your chest?
Good afternoon, Simon. Okay. When I was 17, I had a Saturday job waitressing at a local restaurant. This restaurant had a famous speciality, an incredible fish soup. It was made to a secret recipe. I'd been given a little to try once, and it really was delicious. And one night, when a table ordered this speciality, I was called by the chef to collect it from the kitchen. Oh, it smelt absolutely fantastic. And I was starving because I hadn't eaten before my shift, so my mouth really was watering. Now, between the kitchen and the restaurant, there was a small corridor which wasn't visible from the kitchen or the dining area, and, well, the temptation was too great. I balanced the heavy soup dish in one hand, and with the other, I put a spoonful of soup into my mouth. What I hadn't considered was that the soup would be scalding hot. There I was in the corridor, wanting to scream, but I couldn't make any noise. It felt like the boiling liquid was peeling the skin away from the roof of my mouth, and I was in agony. But I couldn't swallow it. It was so hot. I was terrified that someone might catch me. So I did the only thing I could. I spat the soup back into the dish. Then I heard footsteps from the kitchen. So I put my shoulders back, walked confidently out into the restaurant, and started to serve the soup to the poor, unsuspecting diners, who had no idea that there was a little extra ingredient amongst the mussels and monkfish. Oh, I ask forgiveness for my dreadful deed. I learned my lesson and never did it again.
Yeah. Well, we all have our suspicions about what goes on in restaurant kitchens, and I guess the diners didn't really suffer. As they say, what you don't know can't hurt you. Right, our next caller is Kevin from London. What have you got to confess, Kevin?
Thanks, Simon. Well, I'm a lifelong Tottenham Hotspur fan, and a few years ago, I found myself in the unfortunate position of marrying into a family of diehard Arsenal supporters. It shows just how much I love my wife. Anyway, one Saturday afternoon, not long before Christmas, I was relaxing at home, watching the football results on TV, while my then 4-year-old daughter was at the other end of the sofa, doing her colouring in book. She suddenly looked up at me and said, "Daddy, what football team do you support?" So I told her, Tottenham Hotspur, and her next words made my blood run cold. "Really? I support Arsenal." I was horrified. I knew she didn't really know what she was talking about, and it was probably just something that my father-in-law had got her to say, but you never know. These things can get fixed very early, and the idea of my darling daughter becoming an Arsenal fan, that would be my worst nightmare. So, without really thinking, it just came out. I said, "Oh, well, that's a shame, because Father Christmas doesn't come to children who support Arsenal." My daughter looked at me in horror, and I realised the full weight of what I just said. The natural thing to do at this point would have been just to give her a hug and tell her that Daddy was only joking. But it shames me to say I gave her a hug and told her not to worry. All she needed to do was become a Spurs fan, and I would ring Father Christmas and she'd be back on his list. She's a teenager now and she won't remember it, fortunately, but I would still like to beg forgiveness from my lovely daughter for behaving like a 4-year-old myself and for any sleepless nights I may have caused her.
Well, I'm glad your little girl isn't scarred for life. And is she a Spurs fan now?
She's not remotely interested in football, actually.
Well, you probably put her off. And so, to our last caller. It's Maggie from Cambridge. What's your guilty secret, Maggie?
Hello there. Right, when I was an au pair working in France, I used to travel there by coach and ferry. It was quite a long and difficult journey, and I preferred to travel at night and try to sleep most of the way. Usually I was lucky enough to sit next to someone who, like me, just wanted to get some shut-eye. But on one particular occasion, I found myself squashed into a seat with a large, very chatty, and rather smelly man. I politely engaged in conversation, saying very little, in the hope that he would eventually give up. But he didn't. He went on and on about his boring job. Finally, between Calais and Paris, the coach stopped at a service station, and most of the passengers got off to stretch their legs. I got off, and after walking around for a while, I was one of the last to get back on the coach, and there was no sign of my neighbour. When the driver got back on, he asked if everyone was back on board, and I found I just couldn't speak. I said nothing. I told myself that maybe he'd only been going this far anyway. It was a desperate attempt to feel less guilty, I know, but as we drove off into the night, I looked out of the window and saw the man running across the car park, waving frantically. I never even attempted to get the driver to stop. When I got off the coach in Paris in the cold light of dawn, I disappeared before the driver realised that the man wasn't there, because I knew he'd ask me why I hadn't said he was missing. So I don't know if I can be forgiven for leaving a poor man stranded in a foreign motorway service station in the dead of night. I've been haunted by the vision of him running after us ever since.
Oh, dear. Well, let's wait for some calls and texts to see what the listeners think about that. Stephen from Chester. What do you think?